Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, we notice a few lines from the top, the Dibur HaMaschil, Kisvei HaKodesh Yigonzu. Holy writings that are found in an Ir Hanidachas are to be buried. Masnisin Delo Kerebi Eliezer. The position taken by our Mishnah is not like that of Rebbe Elezer with regard to an Ir Hanidachas. Desanya. We have a Tanaic source. You can see it appears in a frame, as do all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. Rebbe Elezer Omer, Kol Ir Shiesh Bo Afilu Mezuzah Achas. Any city that has in it even a singular mezuzah, Eino Nasis Ir Hanidachas, is prevented from becoming an Ir HaNidachas. Shneemar, the pasuk regarding how one deals with an Ir HaNidachas says, V'sarafta bo'esh eso ir v'es kol shlola kolil, that you shall burn the city and all of its contents completely. V'hecho de'iko mezuzah lo efshar, and in a situation that there is a mezuzah, it's impossible to fulfill the pasuk's requirement, dichtiv, because the pasuk says, lo sasun kein l'shem elokechem. When it comes to treating God, one is not to treat him the same way one treats idols. In the case of idols, they are to be burnt and destroyed. Do not do thusly with regard to things that pertain to Hashem. That being the case, mezuzah and all other holy writings are not to be dealt as one would deal with avodah zarah, hence they are not to be burnt. And as a result of that, if there is a singular mezuzah in the city, since I cannot fulfill the pasuk that says, thou shalt burn all of its contents, because the mezuzah you're not going to be burning, so you're not going to be burning the rest of the city either. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the continuation of the Mishnah says, V'hoysa, quotes the pasuk, this is V'hoysa tel oilom lo sibona oid, the Ir HaNidachas shall be a heap not to be rebuilt ever again. Afilu ginois upardesin divrei Rabbi Yossi Haglili, not to be converted even into gardens and orchards. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo sibona oid equals lekemois shahoiso eino nivneis. Rabbi Akiva understands the pasuk that says you shall not rebuild it. It means it shall not be rebuilt as it was. Aval nasis hi ginos upardesim. However, the Ir HaNidachas, after it's destroyed, the ruins can be converted into gardens or orchards. As we continue in the Gemara, we'll take note of what one sees in the margin. One sees the nosei, the topic heading, Machlokes Tanoim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Ad Heichon Isur Binyan Mechadosh Shel Ir HaNidachas. Until how far does this prohibition of rebuilding an Ir HaNidachas go? The Machlokes Tanoim that we saw in the Mishnah will be featured in the Gemara. We'll also notice a house form, and that's noted, this house form with the colored in tip. Of course, the reason for coloring the tip is to distinguish it from house forms that one saw on the previous facing page, so as to show the distinction between the series. This is explained under the Mivneh heading, Shnei Shlovim Mahu HaBasis Shal Machlokes. Two stages in trying to understand what is the basis of the Machlokes between Rabbi Yossi Haglili and Rabbi Akiva. So we turn to the Gemara, and we also notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a shin that's encircled with a dashed vertical line that follows. This indicates a long question, a she'ela, that lasts all of the lines that are parallel to this vertical dashed line. Lema, b'de Rav Yovin, Amar Rav Ila, Kamifugi. Let us say that the Machlokes Tanoim that we see in the Mishnah is based on Rabbi Ovin's teaching. The Omar Rabbi Ovin, Omar Rabbi Ila, Kol mokim she'ato moitze, klal ve'ase uprat beloisase. Wherever you find a pasuk structured with a general statement in a positive and a detail stated in the negative, as we have in this case, we have the pasuk says v'hoisa tel olam. This is a general comment, namely, it shall remain a heap forever. The remain a heap would seem to include even gardens and orchards are not to be developed there. That's a positive command, a positive statement. It's an asay in a klal form. Klal be'asay v'hoisa tel olam. The detail, prat, the losa says, lo sibona od. The understanding of lo sibona od may sound like one shall not build structures there. Structures being a detail, a prat. So that, according to Reb Ovin, when you have a posuk that's structured in a klal prat fashion, with the klal being an aseh and the detail being a los aseh, ein donin oisoi beklal uprat. One does not treat it as one would ordinarily treat psukim that are in a klal uprat fashion. Klal uprat fashion, a general statement, and then a detail and a detail that follows, would lead to certain conclusions. If we were to judge a klal uprat, it would have taught that it's mutter. That we say we have a rule, ein bechlal elamashi beprat. And if the pasuk says in the prat, thou shalt not make houses, there would be room for considering that you could make ginos upardesim. If you say, like Rabbi Ovin does, that you do not don this, you don't judge it, you don't learn this in the klal uprat fashion, the result is everything is forbidden, including gardens. So we want to say that the machlokis Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Kiva is based on Rabbi Ovin. The more is slayed Rabbi Ovin, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who forbids everything. That's because he accepts Rabbi Ovin's approach that says, don't judge this beklal uprat. And as we said, the result is that everything would be forbidden. Umor, Rabbi Akiva, less slayed Rabbi Ovin. He does not accept Rabbi Ovin's negation of klal uprat over here, and says you do judge this as klal uprat, and as a result of that, you come out saying that building up structures like it was originally you cannot do, but you are able to make it into the iranidachas, into ginos upardesim. Lo, the Gemara says no. This is not the basis of the machlokis tanoim in the Mishnah. The Kuli Alma is Luhud Rabbi Ovin. Everyone agrees with Rabbi Ovin as regards a klal uprat, where the klal is in the positive, where the general statement is in the positive, and the detail is in the negative. You do not apply the rules of klal uprat to such a pasuk. The Hacha Beha Kumifugi. Here, the Machlokis Tanoim is as follows. The more sovar, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who said everything is forbidden, including ginos upardesim, feels that the word oid that's in the pasuk legamri mashma. The pasuk had said lo sibone oid, that you shall not rebuild it ever again, and the word oid seems to be, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, a means completely, never, nothing rebuilt. Umor savar oid equals lekemo shoy, so like it was. Don't build it like it was, but you can make it into a garden or orchard. Eino nivnes avonas is higinos upardesim tanu rabbanon. The Tanaic source says hoyu ba ilanois. If an ir hanidachas has in it trees, tlushim asurim mechubarim mutarin. If they're detached, they're forbidden. If they're attached, they are allowed. Shel ir acheres bein tlushim bein mechubarim asur. However, with regards to another city, whether they be detached or even if they're attached, this is the point of difference, even if they're attached, those trees of the other city are forbidden. My iracheres, what is this reference? A reference to Omar of Chizda, Yericho. This is a reference to the city of Yericho or Jericho, that at the time of Yeshua, when the Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, this city was destroyed. Dichtiv v'hoisa ho'ir cherim. He v'chol asher bo v'ashem. Vayashba Yoshua Boisahi Lemor Orur Hoish Lefnei Hashem Asher Yakum Uvono Esoir Hazos Esiricho Bivachiro Yazdeno Uvitziriro Yatsiv Nulaseha. We just read a pasuk in Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Zayin, where Yoshua says that the city shall be a dedication to Hashem, which means that all of the property in Yericho is not to be taken as booty or as spoils by the soldiers, by the army of Israel, but it's to be dedicated to Hashem. And Yoshua also bound the people by an oath that cursed be the man that rebuilds this city. It will cost him his firstborn son, and if he continues rebuilding it after his firstborn dies and he continues in his ways, he'll end up losing all of his children. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source that deals with the restrictions concerning the rebuilding of Yericho. It says, Lo Yericho al shem ir acheres. The physical city of Yericho cannot be rebuilt and called by another name. Velo ir acheres al shem Yericho. Nor is one allowed to build up another city, some place not related whatsoever to the city that was destroyed at the time of Yeshua, but one's not allowed to build up another city and call it Yericho. Dichtiv, Bono Chiel Beis Ho'eli Es Yericho Ba'aviro B'choro Yisdo U'viskuv Tziro Yitziv V'lo Seho. The Rashi points out that Chiel built a city, not Yericho, he built another place, and he called it Yericho. As you can see in the Rashi, more than halfway downward, you see a double star. Im es Yericho, velo Yericho atzmo bona, ela iracheres al shem Yericho. He didn't build Yericho itself, the city that was destroyed, but another city, and called it Yericho. Shekora lo Yericho, velo esparish ha menola. But it's not told to us where we know this from. And the pasuk says that it cost him his eldest son Aviram and up down to his youngest son Seguv. Tanya, Aviram b'choro rasha lo hoya lo lilmoid b'skoiv tziroi hoya lo lilmoid. The Gemara inquires, Aviram usguv mai ovud de hatana koro l'Aviram rasha. Let's read that again. Baviram Usguv Mai Ovud. What did Aviram Usguv do that the Tana calls them Rasha? If you noticed in the source, just above this line, we dashed underlined the word Rasha, where the Brisa that was featured in that framed section, we had Tanya Baviram Bechoro Rasha. What rishus is characteristic of Aviram? So the Gemara points out that the understanding of the source is to be changed. Hachi ka'amar. Thusly, one should understand the source. Ba'aviram b'choroi hoya loy lumoy lo'oysoy rasha. Rasha is not a description of Aviram. It's a description of Chiel, the father, that at the death of his son Aviram, he Yechiel, the rasha, the evil one, should have learned a lesson. He should have realized that he was violating Yoshua's curse and stopped right there, but no, he continued to build up that town, which he called Yericho, and it cost him all of his children. Biskuv Tziro. The pasuk said regarding Chiel that Biskuv Tziro, Skuv, the young son, he set up the doors, the gates of the city. From the fact that the Pasuk already mentioned Aviram, his eldest, his firstborn, Eini Yodea Sheskuv Tziro, would I not know that Skuv is younger? Ma Tamu Lomar Skuv Tziro. Why does the Pasuk specify Skuv, the young one? Malamed, The fact that it says Skuv Siro teaches us not that necessarily Skuv was simply younger, but much more. Shehoya Makabir Vahoylich Me Aviram Ad Skuv. That he was burying son after son from Aviram down to Skuv. He lost a number of children. And that's what the word Siro indicates, the last one, so to speak, the youngest one. Achov Shushbine Havei. Achov, the king, who was a known idol worshipper, who's also featured in the Mishnah of this perek that says he's one of the kings that's Ein lo chelek olam haba, does not have a portion in the world to come. He was a dear friend of Chia. Also Ihu ve'Eliyahu le'mishal b'shalmo beitamya. Achov and Eliyahu came to do nichum avelim. That's what the expression, the Mishal B'Shalma Beitamya, Beitamya's base Ovel. They came to seek out his welfare, means to do what we refer to as Nichum Avelim. Yosef Vikomar Dilma Himeilat Yoshua Hochilot. He sat there and said that maybe Yoshua, when he cursed thusly, Lo Yericho Al Shem Iracheres. That not to rebuild Yericho itself and call it by another name, nor another city to be built and call it Yericho. And we've dashed underline the second phrase, the Bay's phrase, because this is what Chiel actually did. So he's inquiring or he's contemplating that maybe that his suffering is because of this, because he was guilty of that, of building up another city and calling it Yericho. Omer le Elio, in Elio says to him that yes, this is the case. Omer le, so he said to Elio, Hashto lavdesa de Moshe lo ko mekaimo. Mind you, the curse that Moshe Rabbeinu issued was not fulfilled. God did not fulfill the curse of Moshe. Skipping the bracketed section for a moment, Laftisa the Yoshua Tamidei Mekayimo. Is it possible that the curse of his student Yoshua, he would be Mekayim? In the bracketed section, the Gemara features the background to what Moshe Rabbeinu's curse that was referred to here, that Hashem was not Mekayim. So let's turn back to the brackets. Dichtiv, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Vesartem ve'avadetem v'chulei. The pasuk that we say is in the second paragraph of the Kriya Shema that says that if we go off the path and serve idols, the Kodesh Baruch Hu's wrath will be aroused. It goes on to say, Uksiv v'choro af Hashem bochem v'otzar es ha'shamayim v'chulei. As a result of going off and worshipping idols, God's wrath is aroused, and he will withhold the heavens from bearing forth its rain. Vahu Gavra and Achov, Oikim Le Avoidas Kechavim, I'll call Telem Vitelem, he sets up, Achov set up idols on every furrow and every hill. Velo Shavik Le Mitra, Le Mezal Misgad Le, a massive amount of rains that keeps falling doesn't even allow us to go to worship these idols. This, of course, is a figure of speech indicating the fact that the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't restrain the rainfall, even though Moshe Rabbeinu cursed that there shall be no rainfall in the event of idolatry. So, mind you, Moshe Rabbeinu, the master, his curse was not fulfilled. Is it possible that Laftisod Yoshua Talmidei Mekaimo, the curse of the student, he would fulfill? The curse of the student Yeshua is, of course, referring to the prohibition concerning Yericho. Well, upon hearing this, Elio's wrath was aroused. Miyad Vayomer Elio Tishbi Mitoshbi Al Gilod El Achov. Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael Im Ye Hashonim O'Ele Talu Motor V'chulei. Elio gets up, addresses Achov, and says, he swears by the name of Hashem that there will be no rain in these years. Boy Rachami V'hovulu Aklido Dimitra. Elio prayed and he was given the key to rain. We've featured in a diamond here and later the term aklido means a key. In our Nosei Mivneh heading to this Gemara, just a little bit further up in the margin, you see the diamond featured with aklido, maftechas shel gishamim utchias amesim, the keys that give one the ability to bring rain and revival of the dead. Menias gishamim al yedei Elio, ketekuva ledivrei Achav. The Gemara features here the reaction of Elio, namely the withholding of the rains as a reaction of Elio to the words of Achav. And we'll also see featured later the key to the resurrection of the dead. Let's continue in the Gemara, and we'll see the significance of this point later. So Elio prayed, and he was given the key, Demitra, to reign. Vekom v'ozal, and he got up and walked away. Vayidvar Hashem elov lemor lech mizeh ufoniso l'cho kedmo v'nistarto v'nacha kris. Hashem appeared to Elio and said, go away from here and hide in Nachal Kris. And he was in hiding and he received meat from the Orvim birds that brought him meat. Mehecha, where did they bring him meat from? Omer of Yudah Amarav, mi beitabchi de Achav. They brought him from the butcher shops, the butchers of Achav. And some period of time passed and the river dried out because there was no rain. When he saw that there was trouble in the world, the pasuk says, "Vayidvar Hashem elov lemor," Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared to Elio and said, "Kum lech Tsarfasa," go to Tsarfas. And the pasuk goes on to say, "Hinei tzivisi sham isha almana l'chalkalecha." There's a widow there that I've commanded to support you. Uksiv vayachar hadvorim ha'ela chola ben ha'isha ba'alas abayis. And the pasuk says that after a while, the son of that woman that was hosting Elio took ill. He took ill and he died. Bo rachami lemeitan le aklida. The Tchias HaMesim. Elio prayed that he should be given the key to the resurrection of the dead, so that he would be able to revive this child. Amri Lei, he was told from heaven, Shalosh Maftechos Lo Nimsru L'Shaliach, there are three keys that have not been given over to intermediaries, to messengers. In other words, in God's ruling of the world, He gives power to different types of emissaries to carry out his will. But there are three areas that the Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with himself directly. And they are rain, the chaya is childbirth, and the key to rain, and the key to the revival of the dead. Now, you already have, you prayed and got the key to the rain. If we give you the key to the revival of the dead, the Gemara goes on to say, Yomru Shtayim Biad Talmid V'Echod Biad Horav, that two are in the hands of the student, namely Elio, and only one remains in the hands of Shamayim, in the hands of heaven, the master. Aisi Ha V'Shokil Hai. So what you have to do is you have to give back the key to the rain, give that back to heaven, and then take this key, the key to the revival of the dead, so that you can revive, you'll have the ability to revive the child. Dichtiv lech hero el Achav, ve'etno motor. Go appear to Achav, and I, says Hashem, I will give the rain. It doesn't say that you will give the rain. That's an indication that you, namely Elio, no longer has the key to the rain. It's given back to Shamayim, and the coming forth of the rain now will be done by God Himself. Dora Shahu Glila Kamed Rav Chisda. Moshal de Elio, there was a Galila, a person from the Galilee, that held forth, that expounded in front of Rav Chisda and said, Moshal de Elio, an analogy to Elio, l'mado verdoma, to what is it comparable? The gavro de targe legalye, someone who was locked in, targe Legalias, a locked door, the Avdei Lemaftachei, and he lost his key. In other words, someone who cannot get himself out anymore. Rashi explains this a little further at the bottom. The Tarkei Legalye, Shesosam Shar Shelo, the Avdei Lemaftachei, he sealed his gate and lost the key. Kachos Lio, Notal the Sharei Motor, Leo took the keys to the rain. Ulubasof Ovar Hamafter Shel Shomen. At the end, he lost the key to the rain. Shelo Niftach Hashar Shel Motor Al Yado. The gate to rains was the gate to rains. One could call it water gate. The water gate was not opened by him anymore. Dorash Rav Yossi B'Tzipori. Rav Yossi held forth in his town of Tzipori and said, Abo Elio. This is a reference to Elio HaNavi, the individual we saw featured just above in the story with Ahav and the withholding of the rain. He says that Abo Elio, Hoya, Abo Elio Kapton, that he was a wrathful individual. Rashi says, "Hoya kapton shekoas al Achov v'omar." He got angry at Achov and said, "Chai Hashem im yeh asholim oela tal umotar." So Elio, Rabbi Yossi described Elio as a kapton, as a wrathful person. Having rogil lemesi gabe, Elio was appeared regularly to Rabbi Yossi. For 3 days, Elio stopped showing up. Kiasa, when he did finally come back, Amarle, Rabbi Yossi asked him, Amai lo osamar, why didn't you come? Amarle, so Elio said, Kapton korosli, you called me a kapton, a wrathful individual. Amarle, so Rabbi Yossi says, Ha de kamon, de kokopid mar. Well, you see, you didn't come to me for 3 days. That just shows this particular attribute that you have. V'lo yidbak b'yodchom u'mo min acherim. That's the pasuk. Kol zman she'rishoyim ba'olam charon af ba'olam. The pasuk says that when the Ir HaNidachas is destroyed, when dealing with idolatry, nothing of it shall cleave unto you. And the Mishnah says that while Rishoyim are in the world, there is wrath in the world. Man Rishoyim, the wicked that are described are whom? Omar Rav Yosef, Ganvi, thieves. The Rashi here doesn't elaborate on the significance of this, that the Rishus specifically of thievery is that which brings wrath to the world, but it is interesting to note that the Gemara, in a few daf ago, mentioned that chomos, that theft, is such a serious matter that during the Dor HaMabul, that after all they were involved with many different kinds of sins, but it's the sin of thievery that caused their gezar din to be signed. Their final verdict came as a result of this particular offense. Hence, you can see that wrath or ultimate wrath on the world comes as a result of thievery. Tana Rabbanan. We have a source that we featured within the frame section a number of underlying phrases, and you can see they address the issue of Rishoyim and Tzadikim. Rosha bo li'olam, charon bo li'olam. When a Rosha comes into the world, wrath comes into the world. Shenamar, bevoi Rosha bo gambuz, ve'im klon cherpa. Rosha ovad min ha'olam, when an evil person is lost from the world, toiva ba'olam, then good comes to the world. Shinemar, uba'avoid rishoyim, with the destruction of the wicked, rina, there is joy. Tzadik niftar min ha'olam, when a righteous individual passes away, ro'a ba'olam, then wicked comes to world, evil, bad, befalls the world. Shinemar, ha'tzadik ovad, Ve'ein ish som alev, ve'anshe chesed ne'esofim, ve'ein mevin. Pasuk so far is saying the tzaddik or the anshe chesed are withdrawn. Ki mipnei hara ne'esaf hatzaddik. Mipnei hara means that before the ra, before the evil comes, the tzaddik is gathered in, is withdrawn. So that we see that with the death of the tzaddik, with the passing of the tzaddik, that ushers in ra'a. Tzaddik ba'al li'olam, toiva ba'al li'olam. Shnemar, ze yinachamenu mima'asenu ume'itzvoin yodenu. With the coming of Noach into the world, the Pasuk says he will be a source of comfort to us. Hadron Allah, Kol Yisrael, Yeshlam Chelek, Uslik Allah, Masechet Sanhedrin. With that, we conclude not only our shiur for today, but the entire Masechet Sanhedrin.